to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee for your Tuesday afternoon. Brett Johnson with you. And hopefully I'll be seeing you tonight over at Burger Mo's in St. Paul for our presidential debate watching party. I have a couple of big announcements with that, including the fact that we are going to be entering anyone who attends into a drawing to win some signed books from Tom Hartman. So definitely looking forward to that. We'll, of course, also play our Blue No Matter Who Bingo with lots of great prizes available as well. And not to mention that Burger Mo's has absolutely delicious food. So hope to see you out at Burger Mo's tonight. Doors open at 6:30. The debate is at 7 o'clock. And now you are only able to get those tickets at the door. So we still have room to attend the debate party. You can't order online anymore, but you can purchase those tickets at the door for only $20. Hope to see you tonight at Burger Mo's. Should be a lot of fun. I'll be out there as well as Matt McNeil and other AM 950 staff. Coming up on the show today, we are going to be speaking with Max Richmond of the National Committee to Protect Social Security and Medicare. Certainly a very important topic because a few days ago, President Trump signed this executive order, which kind of changes the way Medicare and then Medicare Advantage function. We're going to take a deep dive into what exactly he did and some of the issues we might have with kind of promoting Medicare Advantage over Medicare, the traditional form of Medicare, at least, as we'll be speaking with Max coming up later on in the show, and also talking a little bit about Social Security, because Max is very concerned that at the debate tonight, we're not likely to get many questions about Social Security. In fact, as I go back and think about it, I don't think any of the debate moderators at any of the debates have asked any questions about Social Security, and it's certainly something that we're going to need to address. So hopefully, I'll keep my fingers crossed that CNN will ask a question, but going back to how they ran the last debate, I'm not going to get my hopes too high. But hey, you never know. Maybe we'll get some substantive questions at the debate this evening. So before we dive into some news for today, I want to address something that I talked about yesterday because I got a little feedback on this regarding what I was talking about with Hunter Biden. So I want to make sure I'm very clear. Hunter Biden did not do anything illegal. He's completely fine in that. In fact, you can find many stories showing that he didn't commit any illegal acts. But the point that I was making was that what he did was largely unethical. And here's how. This job he took in the Ukraine and, of course, other jobs he's taken, how exactly was he qualified for these? He pretty much just used his father's last name to get these jobs. They were jobs he, of course, not really was qualified at all to take. And in fact, he even admitted this in some interviews today, as he said, quote, on ABC News, in retrospect, look, I think that was poor judgment on my part. But of course, he emphasized he did nothing wrong at all in terms of legality, which he is correct about. But in terms of nepotism, yeah, it is unethical. So I do stand by what I was saying. Did he do anything illegal? No. But did he do anything unethical? Yeah, of course he did, by taking jobs he was clearly not qualified for. And as we talked about yesterday, it just kind of follows a pattern that we've seen, well, pretty much throughout all of human history, where if you have a parent or a relative who has a famous last name, you're generally going to take advantage of it. Of course, we've seen that recently with the Bush family and obviously the Trump family, probably taking it to an entirely new level. So just want to be clear with that. Yes, of course, Hunter Biden, did he technically do anything illegal? No. But did he do anything unethical? Yeah, I think he did. He used some poor judgment, and in fact, he even admitted that today. He's probably done more harm than good for his father's presidential campaign. And also, again, just to emphasize this as well, it's nothing compared to the nepotism we've seen in the Trump administration. Also in the news today, we have a new candidate who will be running against Tom Emmer in the 6th Congressional District. That's Tanya Zaradka, as she has announced her candidacy to face Congressman Emmer. Zaradka is a former Mrs. Minnesota and host of the Minnesota Experienced television show. Seems like a good candidate, but just unfortunately the way the 6th Congressional District is drawn, probably not going to have much of a chance. However, after 2020, Tom Emmer is very likely to represent a much different district since we are likely to lose a congressional seat, which could significantly change the way the boundaries of his district will be drawn beyond 2020. And even if we do keep our 8 congressional districts, very unlikely, We're still probably also likely to see some boundary changes due to the fact that the metropolitan part of Minnesota is growing at a much faster pace than rural and greater Minnesota. And one more piece of news, Amy Klobuchar and her debate strategy. Over the past few days, she's kind of given us a hint on where she's going to go with her debate tonight. And it has to do a lot with really going aggressively after this Medicare for All proposal. As she's been recently quoted as saying, "I want to win big. And if someone is looking to kick 149 million Americans off their current health insurance in 4 years, then I'm not your candidate." I want to know what you think about this. And we'll take your calls coming up in the second half of the show, probably around 4:35 or 4:40. I want to know what you think about what she's saying, because I feel like she's kind of taking some Republican talking points by saying that people are going to be kicked off their health insurance. I want to know what you think about that. We'll take your calls coming up during the second half of the show. Is she kind of just playing into Republicans' hands by using their talking points against Medicare for All? 952-946-6205. Take your calls on that in the second half of the show. All right, coming up next, we'll be speaking with Max Richman of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare about this new Trump executive order that has to do with Medicare Advantage. We'll talk with Max coming up next on the program. Hey, it's Brett from the 4 p.m. Repartee. AM 950 is having another debate watching party tonight as we head to Burger Mo's in St. Paul. I'll be there along with Matt and other AM 950 staff. We'll play a debate-themed Blue No Matter Who bingo with lots of great prizes. Tickets are now only available at the door for $20. Your ticket includes free light appetizers with a cash bar available. Again, that's AM 950's debate watching party tonight at Burger Mo's in St. Paul. Doors open a half hour before the debate. Tickets at am950radio.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed. Also, the Army National Guard's education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
"If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get." Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
I'm attorney Rachel Schroman of Schroman Law, and I've got you covered. I provide trusted legal advice in wills and trusts, supplemental and special needs trusts, powers of attorney, health care directives, probate, financing long-term care, medical assistance planning, and prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. These are areas of law that are intensely personal in nature, and I don't take the responsibility of providing counsel around such issues lightly. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Join author Benjamin Percy on October 22nd at Next Chapter Booksellers as he presents his latest collection of horror stories, Suicide Woods. A potent brew of horror, crime, and weird happenings, Suicide Woods is Benjamin Percy's first story collection since his acclaimed Refresh, Refresh. In story after story, Percy delivers haunting and chilling narratives that will have readers hanging on every word. That's Benjamin Percy at Next Chapter Booksellers in St. Paul on Tuesday, October 22nd at 7 p.m. More at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
And welcome back to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Very happy to be speaking now with Max Richmond of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, because certainly the name of your organization, the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, a very important name and a very apt name in these times as well. So, Max, thanks so much for joining us on the program today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Max, can you fill us in on a general overview of what's in this executive order that was signed by President Trump a few days ago?
Well, for quite a while now, Medicare Advantage plans have been expanding in terms of the numbers that they cover. I think it's about 30% of Medicare beneficiaries choose Medicare Advantage. And for many of them, it's a better deal. Those are usually younger seniors, healthier seniors that seem to, if you will, take advantage of Medicare Advantage plans. The problem that we see with the president's executive order, and actually it's been prevalent throughout the last couple of years in the way the Health and Human Services Department, particularly the Center for Medicare, has advertised and put out information about both Medicare Advantage and traditional Medicare, is it's very slanted towards the Medicare Advantage programs, which of course the insurance companies love, and does not actually give a lot of information for seniors to make a truly informed decision about whether they want to choose a Medicare Advantage plan or go with traditional Medicare. And the handbook that has been put out the last couple of years prior to Medicare, the open enrollment period that you mentioned, fails to, I think, convey the advantages and disadvantages of both traditional Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans. So our issue with historically the last few years of the way that government has handled in this information and with the president's executive order is it doesn't paint the full picture and let seniors who are eligible for Medicare make an informed decision.
Yeah, let's dive into this Medicare Advantage plan a little bit more here, because supposedly it's supposed to, well, of course, be cheaper and less expensive than a traditional Medicare plan. But if you actually look at the costs, and this is actually the government's own reporting, the government actually ends up spending about the same per person, whether it's a traditional Medicare plan or Medicare Advantage. How exactly does that work?
What the government does is it subsidizes the Medicare Advantage plans. And the whole point originally, the way Medicare Advantage was sold, was to show that it would, in fact, cost less to have Medicare Advantage rather than traditional Medicare. But as you just pointed out, if you look at the subsidies that the federal government provides for Medicare Advantage companies, and these are private insurance companies, it's costing more. So the whole point of, I think, the predominant point of behind Medicare Advantage was to reduce the cost. That's not happening. The subsidies were reduced somewhat in the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, a number of years ago, but they still exist. And I think the biggest issue for us is the lack of information about what happens to you if you're a younger senior just entering the beneficiary age, 65, you choose a Medicare Advantage plan, and then a few years later, you discover that you'd be better off with traditional Medicare. The catch is you can switch back to traditional Medicare, but as many seniors find out too late, once they decide to make that change, they can be prohibited from buying a Medigap plan. Medigap plans cover what traditional Medicare doesn't cover, the 20% that are paid for by the individual. And many, many seniors buy Medigap plans, and they're going to be out in the cold if they originally choose to go with the Medicare Advantage plans. And if that's what they choose, that's fine. Unfortunately, that information is not conveyed in any clear way for seniors making these choices. And whatever the president's executive order does, it does not rectify that serious flaw in providing guidance to help seniors make the best choice for them.
Yeah, because as you said, this is really just about getting the correct information, because for some folks, yeah, Medicare Advantage might be a great plan if you're healthier, because you might end up having less costs. But what I found interesting is I read through part of this executive order, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it says Medicare is not advantaged or promoted over Medicare Advantage with respect to its administration. But as you're talking about here, it kind of seems like we actually have the reverse problem.
Absolutely, it is the reverse. We've been trying to address this for a couple of years, and trying to get the actual balanced information out, rather than information that essentially helps the insurance companies sell Medicare Advantage plans, and fails to, as I said, inform consumers the downside, which they should be aware of in selecting a Medicare Advantage plan over traditional Medicare. And you know, it's too late once they decide to. They're all a little older. They may be aware that traditional Medicare is better for them. They try to change, and they're confronted with the fact they can't buy a Medigap policy, which leaves them out in the cold. And as I said, the executive order does not do anything to address that problem.
Let's talk about another part of this executive order, and this kind of jumped out at me as being kind of terrifying, because basically it calls for a transition toward true market-based pricing in the fee-for-service Medicare problem. Then in another instance, the order calls for the Medicare fee-for-service payments to more closely reflect the prices paid for services in Medicare Advantage and commercial insurance markets. That seems like kind of a problem to me, because I don't know if we necessarily want to be taking those commercial market rates, correct?
Well, that's absolutely right. You identified one of the significant problems there in this executive order. What I was hoping for is something much more from this administration. As I remember during the campaign, when candidate Trump talked about Social Security and talked about Medicare, one of the things he was focused on quite a bit was allowing or mandating the federal government to negotiate for the best price for prescription drugs for seniors. You know, he's been president for nearly 3 years. Nothing's happened with that. There is legislation in the Congress, H.R. 3 in the House, that Speaker Pelosi has recently rolled out, that does begin to give the government the authority to negotiate. When prescription drugs were added to the Medicare program in 2003, legislation had a provision in it that banned the federal government, prohibited the federal government from negotiating for the best price for prescription drugs for Medicare beneficiaries. This makes no sense. You have an entity representing millions of people, tens of millions of people, and they cannot negotiate for the best price. The president talked about it quite a bit during the campaign. His executive order does not address that at all. And that I think there are a lot of proposals out there that would deal with prescription drug costs for seniors, but the most effective mechanism would be to have the federal government negotiate for the best price. And there's nothing about that in the executive order.
There's one other part of the executive order, and this is more about what's not in the order. And this isn't just about Trump. This is about previous presidents as well. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Max, but as I see it, Medicare currently does not cover dental or vision, correct?
That's true. that it does not cover the not only dental vision but hearing. These are very important health needs of seniors.
Absolutely.
Frankly, I find many people that become eligible for Medicare assume that they'll get some coverage for dental vision and hearing, and they're shocked to find out that that does not exist in the Medicare program. Some Medicare Advantage plans have coverage, and this is one of the selling points for some of these Medicare Advantage plan policies. But we have advocated for a long time, and there now is some real movement in the Congress to add those benefits to traditional Medicare, vision, hearing, and dental. And I'm hoping that we can see some real positive movement on adding those benefits in this Congress before the next election next year.
That just strikes me as unreal that, of course, Medicare is designed for people who are senior citizens in our population, and they wouldn't cover dental, and as you said, especially hearing and vision. Those strike me as being pretty big issues. How have we not dealt with this? And until then, what's the logic, or I guess maybe lack of logic,
you know,
as to why they're...
I've been puzzling about that myself for a long time, and what I finally realized after talking to some of the lobbyists for those for the Dental Association, for example, they are opposing this coverage. And it's kind of like, reminds me of the American Medical Association was so adamant in fighting the Medicare program. They did not want to be subject to the rules and regulations of the federal government and tried to defeat enactment in the early 60s of the Medicare program. Same with some of these other, with dental, hearing, and vision. I think that despite the fact that there's so much more business out there, if you will, for them, if they beneficiaries had at least some coverage, they've been opposing this, and they've been pretty effective, as have the pharmaceutical industry folks, from preventing these needed expansions to the Medicare program.
All right, final question for you, Max, before I know you have to get running here in a second. Of course, we have the Democratic debate, which is taking place tonight. And this is a question in regards to the debate and also the campaign in general, whether it's for the presidency or for Congress or for the Senate. But what are you hoping to hear from some of the candidates? Because often we'll hear, well, I don't plan on touching your Medicare and your Social Security. I plan on leaving it as is. But are you hoping to hear more specifics in terms of how candidates plan to...
Well, I'm not. I'm hoping, but I'm not hopeful. We have written to the candidates to get into a discussion about Social Security. We have written to the moderators at each debate, including this one that's happening tonight. We've written to CNN asking them to ask a question about Social Security. You know, there's something like 168 million people paying into Social Security, and I think around 60 million collecting it. It affects so many people, and yet we have not heard a single question. So maybe tonight we'll have a question about Social Security, but I'm not holding my breath.
I hope you're right as well, because Medicare, of course, has gotten a lot of coverage during the Democratic debates, but yes, not much about Social Security at all. And as someone who's 34 years old, I keep hearing about these plans to privatize Social Security. Well, I've been paying into that for, what, 15, 16 years. I certainly want those benefits when I'm older as well.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Let's
keep our fingers crossed.
I'm hoping so. Maybe eventually we'll get a question at the debate, one of these debates coming up here. But as you said, I'm not necessarily optimistic myself either with 12 candidates on the debate stage. But that's a topic for another day. Hey, Max Richmond, he is with the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. And Max, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program today, because the title of your of what you run is exactly what we need to be doing, preserving Social Security and Medicare. So thanks again so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And again, good to hear from Max over at the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, hoping to check in with them a little bit more frequently as time goes on, because you're likely to see these attacks against Medicare and Social Security continue, especially in light of lots of the Democratic candidates proposing this idea of Medicare for All. And in fact, I want to talk with you up next about this idea of Medicare for All and how it's going to be perceived at tonight's debate, because I think you are going to see a lot of candidates go aggressively against Medicare for All, because there's even some polling showing that the public option has actually become much more popular than Medicare for All. So we're going to talk more about this and whether kind of conceding this idea is actually playing into Republican talking points. We'll get into that up next, but first it's time for the Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. I'm Dan Hyman. Under criticism for enabling Turkey's offensive, President Donald Trump has imposed trade sanctions and sent Vice President Mike Pence to Ankara. Pence says the president has called for an immediate ceasefire. Congressional leaders of both parties say Trump was irresponsible for pulling back U.S. forces in a way that allowed the Turkish offensive. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi says she's discussing legislation to overturn the U.S. troop withdrawal with Senate Republicans. 14 police officers in Mexico were murdered in a matter of minutes when their convoy was ambushed. According to the L.A. Times, handwritten notes left at the scene implicate the violent Jalisco New Generation cartel. The white Fort Worth police officer who shot an African-American woman in her home has been charged with murder. 34-year-old Aaron Dean resigned from the force soon after the shooting of Atitania Jefferson. The acting police chief said body cam footage showed that Dean acted inappropriately. North Dakota is tightening the rules on abandoned oil wells. As Eric Tigedoff explains, that has angry landowners and groups like the Dakota Resource Council cautiously optimistic about what will happen to the more than 600 abandoned wells in the state.
Draft rules include a measure to make companies pay a higher bond if a well is classified as abandoned for more than 7 years. Finn Tanduli is a DRC member who founded the Salted Lands Council to help farmers monitor damage to their lands from oil and gas wells.
The rules, I think, are a manifestation of a change in attitude, and a better change. The mere fact that they're acknowledging that they've got to do something is important.
A North Dakota Petroleum Council representative said the higher bond after the 7-year period could make wells financially unviable.
This is PNS.
Advocates say today there's more discussion and less stigma than in past years about depression and other mental health issues among policymakers and people in general. But Sue Adverholden, who heads the Minnesota chapter for the National Alliance on Mental Illness, says access to proper care is still a challenge.
Some of it's due to workforce shortages. Some of it's due to the health plans not having very, you know, robust networks of providers.
In 2008, Congress passed a bill to ensure equal coverage of treatment for mental illness and addiction, but gaps still exist. Earlier this year, the Congressional Budget Office found that private insurance companies spend nearly 15% less for mental health care than public programs like Medicare. Mike Moen, Minnesota News Connection.
A common, inexpensive drug could save thousands of people from dying of traumatic brain injuries each year, researchers say. The medicine's already used to control blood loss from gunshots. Now, a study published in The Lancet says a dose costing less than $8 reduced the chance of death in mild and moderate brain injury cases by more than a fifth. I'm Dan Hyman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
When you need legal assistance, let the Hennepin County Bar Association help you find the right attorney. They have professional, experienced referral counselors who can connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in a wide variety of areas, including employment, divorce, custody and support, bankruptcy, taxes, and much more. Take the stress out of finding a lawyer. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
Total Dog Company exists for people who are serious about their dogs. People who want the best nutrition and the best gear for their dogs. Total Dog Company's mission is to provide high-quality, practical food and gear for dogs and only dogs. Nothing frou-frou or frivolous. Nothing with suspect ingredients. No cat food or wild bird food. Totally dog, from head to wagging tail. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
The Audubon Centre of the Northwoods on Grindstone Lake west of Sandstone offers a great variety of environmental learning experiences for people of all ages running year-round. But did you know you can book your own event here at the centre? Check out our lakeside dining hall and the variety of lodging and meeting accommodations available. Visitors on the web at audubon-centre.org or call 320-245-ACNW. The Audubon Centre of the Northwoods.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, a 40% chance of rain with a high near 51 and a low around 39. Wednesday, cloudy skies with a high of 47 and a low of 36. Thursday, sunny with a high of 56 and a low of 45.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's Restaurant of the Week is Burger Moe's, offering 20 fresh, never-frozen varieties of burgers, as well as delicious apps, soups, salads, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Moe's is the perfect gathering spot before or after XL Energy events.
And we're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We are live for the rest of the show, taking your phone calls at 952-946-6205 as I want to dive into what I think a lot of the Democratic candidates are going to be taking tonight in terms of strategy against this idea of Medicare for All. Like I talked about, we've already been seeing Amy Klobuchar talk about this recently on the campaign trail. Her famous or infamous quote is that, basically, in regards to Medicare for All, I want to win big, and if someone is looking to kick 149 million Americans off their current health insurance in 4 years, then I'm not your candidate. And Eric, you and I were kind of talking about this at the last debate with some other folks as well, this idea that Americans are very scared about being kicked off their private insurance plan and then being forced to be on a government-run insurance plan. I think this so often misses the point of that, this whole idea. I think even Obama made this quote, if you like your insurance, you can keep it. I don't think anyone actually likes their health insurance plan. They like the idea of having insurance.
No, yeah, I agree. And I think that a lot of times people intentionally conflate health care with your health insurance.
Oh, totally.
People think that they're going to have to go to different doctors. They think that they're going to have to change the medication they're on, mm-hmm. so on and so forth, because they're switching their health care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
No one's arguing that you need to change health care.
Mm-hmm. And in all likelihood, you'll probably end up with a bigger selection of doctors on a government-run plan as opposed to having private insurance. Because in terms of not having choice for doctors, have you looked at a lot of private insurance plans? You usually don't have a lot of choices, even on mine. I won't name what provider I'm on, but even I don't have a whole lot of choices. I would be in a lot of trouble, for instance, if I lived in a rural area, because at least in the metro area, I can generally go to wherever I need to with someone that's in my network, because we're in the large Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area. But if you're in a rural area, you're kind of out of luck in terms of where you can go for your health care coverage. And a great distinction you brought up, health insurance versus health care. Yeah, those two terms get conflated way too often.
I know that I had an injury and I was taking an ambulance and they were trying to take me to a specific hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't take me to that. Don't take me to that, because all of a sudden I'm going to be on the line for mm-hmm. paying for all of that because of I'm on a private health insurance company.
Just think of how absurd that is, what you just said. You're on an ambulance and you're having to consciously think, don't take me to that hospital because it's not in my network.
Mm-hmm.
That's just mind-boggling. You should not be having to think about that if
trying
you're
to
in
haggle
an,
with the EMTs.
Yeah, exactly. You're not sitting there. Yeah, you don't want to be sitting there with your EMTs or when you're in the ER with a doctor saying, I'll provide you care, but can I see your credit card first? We just need one to get on file. So, yeah, this whole idea that people don't want to be kicked off their private insurance plans. No, they just don't want to be kicked off of any insurance plan. I think that's the bigger key. They're happy they have insurance. sense. At least that's the case for me, because if you were to ask me along those lines, are you happy you have health insurance? Well, of course I'm going to say yes. I'm not going to say no, I'm not happy, or I'm not happy that I have health insurance. Of course you want that.
And single payer is going to, like, the model that they're striving for mm-hmm. is just total coverage. I think it's an instance where people only really pay attention to their health insurance when it is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I don't know what you're hoping, what could possibly be better mm-hmm. than the alternative they're proposing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I'm very concerned that we're going to see pretty much every candidate really go out aggressively against Medicare for All, especially now since Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden are kind of co-leaders in the race. Bernie is still definitely lurking there in third place. So when you have two of the top three candidates very much in support of at least some form of Medicare for All, of course, there are differences between the Bernie Sanders and the Elizabeth Warren plan. I think you are going to see especially some of these lower tier candidates really go out and attack that aggressively, especially too from this aspect. If Joe Biden doesn't look like he's the candidate to proverbially take out, if that's even a word, take out or go against the more liberal candidate, likely to be Bernie or Elizabeth Warren, you're probably going to have some of these candidates hoping, well, I can be the next Joe Biden that takes that more moderate approach with the party, where you're going to see someone like a Cory Booker or a Pete Buttigieg or a Kamala Harris really try to take up that mantle. But if at least there is one good piece of news in this whole debate of whether we have Medicare for All versus a public option, we can at least concede it is a move in the right direction, because even if you go back to 2008, 2009, and 2010, the public option actually seemed like a pretty extreme proposal. Not to us, of course, the sane people in politics, but the general American public. They were kind of perceiving the public option as being some sort of government takeover. So we have at least made a little progress on the issue. But, still a ways to go on that. Let's go to the phone lines now. We got Randy in St. Cloud who wants to chime in on this topic. Hey there, Randy.
Well, thank you very much. The only people who really like their health insurance company are people who've never had to use it. They've never been sick. Because then once they start trying to use it, and they go, oh, we don't cover that. Oh, yeah. No, you can't get that.
Cover 40% of what what the cost was, yeah.
Yeah, we'll give you $12. Yeah. Go ahead, the rest is on you. And the public option got thrown out right away. Max Baucus was a senator from Montana. And he was in charge of the Senate negotiation on health care reform. He was the senator who took the most money from health insurance companies in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, guess what happened? And when you were talking to that guy about Medicare and, you know, what's the deal? They don't cover hearing and they don't cover eye care and they don't cover dental. That's crazy. For old people, isn't that like three of the main things they need? It is.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's not there is because of lobbying. So there's two things that have to happen. We got to get Medicare for All, and we got to get rid of money in politics, because that's what's driving our inability to have Medicare for All. Every other country does it. They don't have to wait in line. It's all this bull manure.
Nice catch there.
Yeah, I almost said it right out loud. It's just that. They're just making up stories. They want to scare people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Amy Klobuchar, I mean, she might as well run as a Republican. I mean, she's crazy if she thinks people really buy her jive, you know. Anyway, I could go on forever, but
yeah,
I'll shut up now.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call there, Randy, and hopefully we'll see you tonight over at Burger Mo's for the Democratic debate watching party. I would say not necessarily crazy is the right way to describe Amy Klobuchar's ideas on healthcare. And by the way, several of the other Democratic candidates, I think they're just a little bit maybe behind the times, very kind of 2008-ish in their proposals, where they're not quite reading the room and figuring that, well, Medicare for All and universal health care are much more popular than they used to be. In fact, a new CBS poll finds that 56% of Americans think providing access to affordable health care coverage for all Americans is the responsibility of the federal government, and another 66% favor the creation of a national government-administered, I should say, health insurance plan similar to Medicare that would be available to all Americans, and that's certainly a lot higher than those polling numbers used to be back in 2008, 2009, and 2010 when the Affordable Care Act was being debated. Now, to go back to what Randy was saying about Max Baucus and some of these other Democrats that were in the Senate when we were trying to get healthcare reform passed back in 2009 or 2010. And this is a problem I had with Democrats back then, and it's a problem I think I'm going to have with a new Democratic administration in 2021 and into 2022 and hopefully beyond. I feel like as Democrats, we are really horrible at negotiating. Because the original proposal we had, I believe, from Barack Obama back in 2009, 2010, his original proposal was already a public option. And just by the nature of negotiating, you start backing off on that proposal, where you start meeting in the middle with the people on the other side. And eventually we ended up with an Obamacare that didn't have any sort of government or public-run option. Where I think if he had started maybe with a universal health care, or not even necessarily a Medicare for all proposal, but something much more aggressive than a public option, then perhaps your compromise could have been a public option. And I'm afraid that some of these Democratic candidates are making that exact same mistake, where we're making our starting position on health care the public option, where I think it should be, as a starting position, something like a universal health care or a Medicare for all, in hopes that maybe the eventual negotiated position ends up being a public option. Because at least for me, yeah, I would be actually very happy if we got a public option passed. But the problem is if you make that your starting position in negotiations, you end up moving away from that. That's just kind of negotiating 101. I mean, you kind of get what I'm saying, Eric. When you're negotiating with someone, you don't say initially what you want your final position to be. You start with something that you don't think will get passed, and then you move towards the middle. And I feel like Democrats were just horrible at this.
Well, we are horrible at it, because think about all the negotiation, all the things we conceded to the Republicans when we were arguing for the ACA.
Mm-hmm.
And then not a single one of them voted for it.
Yeah.
So what was the point?
Yeah, exactly. So if I'm out there like an Amy Klobuchar or some of the other candidates who aren't necessarily going all out in terms of Medicare for all, make that your starting position. Even if you don't necessarily want that to be your end game, use that as a negotiating piece so you can move towards what you actually want, which the majority of the Democratic candidates actually want, which is a public option. So I just think in terms of pure political gamesmanship, we're making a big mistake by making the public option our actual starting point. Let's continue with the phone calls and go to Mark in Fridley. Hey there, Mark.
Hey, guys. Listen, FDR wanted national health care. We still haven't got it. And we have to, as a people, look at why does everything that needs to be fixed remain permanently broken? And when it comes to who's going to be this next president, and I'm just going to extrapolate on Randy from St. Cloud's words. In Amy Klobuchar's own words during her speech in the blizzard, she said that her biggest influence in the Senate and her mentor was John McCain, not Paul Wellstone, not Walter Mondale, not Hubert Humphrey, John McCain. Now, we have to look at promises made versus promises kept. Barack Obama made a bunch of promises. He promised to be a progressive. Ended up being probably the best Republican Democrats ever elected. And I warned people about this, and on the record, that Hillary Clinton was unelectable. Now you've got Robert Reich, who was a huge Hillary supporter and was a huge Bernie Sanders basher, who's now saying that we can't elect a centrist Democrat. And the question we need to ask about, and again, with Joe Biden, Joe Biden's responsibility in 20 years of endless wars should preclude him from being on this panel tonight and being, seeking the presidency of the United States. And the question I would like to have a single journalist ask Hunter Biden is, what were your qualifications for the positions that you assumed
exactly.
in the role of
mm-hmm.
board of director? Because that, if you're making $50,000 a month, what academic background? Because if you looked at it, he was the black sheep of the family. But so was W. Bush, and look what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
But Hunter Biden was a black sheep of the family. He got kicked out of the military for drugs, and he had all kinds of problems. Yet somehow he's making this money, and he's flying in an airplane, Air Force Two, to communicate with the Chinese and Ukraine oligarchs on his dad's plane, and his dad didn't know anything about it, and his dad looked the people in the eye and said, I didn't know what my son was doing. You're lying to us. If you lie about the little things, you're going to lie about the big things. And we've just got to clean this up. If Joe Biden was really interested in doing what's best for the country, he would sit down right now.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for the call. Definitely appreciate it. And yeah, just to continue with what I talked about at the beginning of the show with Joe Biden, again, taking a job in the Ukraine and among these other positions that he's held, did he do any illegal acts? Again, going to emphasize, no, nothing illegal at all. But was it unethical taking jobs you're not qualified for? Yeah, it was. That's pure nepotism. And like I said, the nepotism that Hunter Biden has had is nothing compared to the nepotism we've seen from the Trump family or the Bush family. It's just something that's pretty much happened throughout all of human history. It's not just isolated to recent American politics. It's pretty much all human history going back to, as Sam said, back to the Middle Ages, back to the Dark Ages. We've always had nepotism, and unfortunately, it's just continued into today with a lot of our political dynasty families. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Do have a few minutes left in the show. We'll continue with your phone calls and cover some other miscellaneous news up next here on the Repartee with Brett and Eric.
On October 20th, the University of Minnesota Center for Spiritual and Healing is offering a half-day mindfulness meditation retreat, which is open for those who have never practiced mindfulness or those who are daily practitioners. The mindfulness meditation retreat invites you to intentionally step away from daily routines and the busyness of everyday life for the purpose of renewal. Enjoy guided instruction from a skilled mindfulness teacher, sitting meditation, and gentle mindful movement. Space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown. I'm the owner of Minuteman Press Uptown. We print everything.
How about pull-up banners for trade shows?
We print everything.
Mailers?
We print everything.
Do you print yard signs?
We print everything.
Bulk mail?
We print everything.
Door hangers?
If you got a door to hang it on, we print it.
Wow, I guess you print everything.
So if you need something, anything printed, bring it to Minuteman Press Uptown, because we print everything.
Join author Benjamin Percy on October 22nd at Next Chapter Booksellers as he presents his latest collection of horror stories, Suicide Woods. A potent brew of horror, crime, and weird happenings, Suicide Woods is Benjamin Percy's first story collection since his acclaimed Refresh, Refresh. In story after story, Percy delivers haunting and chilling narratives that will have readers hanging on every word. That's Benjamin Percy at Next Chapter Booksellers in St. Paul on Tuesday, October 22nd at 7 p.m. More at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, and muckraking host of The Bradcast, weeknights here on AM 950. With the 2020 election upon us, all the stops are now coming out to suppress the vote. Whether it's photo ID, bad voting machines, or just plain old voter intimidation, we will expose all of the latest schemes, frauds, and more. Right here on The Bradcast, every weeknight, now at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, speaking of Brad Friedman, looks like we are going to be preempting his program tonight, as well as the Randy Rhodes Show, as we'll be airing the debate live here on the radio. And of course, you can also attend our debate watching party over at Burger Mo's. Definitely hope to see you there. Tickets now only available at the door for $20. Burger Mo's, downtown St. Paul. Definitely hope to see you there. All right, so one final thought talking about this idea of moderates versus progressive Democrats in the party. I'm not necessarily opposed to moderate candidates if they actually stuck to what their original proposals were, because if you look at a lot of these moderate candidates, if these were their final positions and these were actually locked in as their actual policy that got through Congress, I would actually be very happy with what a lot of them ended up passing. Just the problem is we're horrible at negotiating as Democrats. So I think we need to be thinking a little more strategically, where if you are actually a moderate Democrat, make your starting position more progressive than you might actually want your final proposition to be, because through negotiations, you'll probably get what you originally wanted in the first place. All right. One more note before we get back to the phone calls, and this is just a really depressing one. 40,000 people in Ohio have accidentally been kicked off the voter rolls. Wow. 40,000. That's according to a report in the New York Times, and this was only uncovered by volunteers, no government organization.
How Yikes. Accidentally is this?
Yeah, exactly. Accidentally. Yeah, that's a very astute point there, Eric. Hey, let's finish up the show and go to Lawrence in St. Paul. Hey, Lawrence, don't have a ton of time for you, but what's on your mind?
I'll just close with this. Why are the Democrats losing so much? Hunter Biden should not be an issue. What we should be talking about 24/7 are Trump's children. Bring them down to the dirt. We're not playing dirty. We're going to lose. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Thanks so much, Lawrence. And yeah, I maybe haven't emphasized this enough. I mean, yeah, we're talking about Hunter Biden, but like I said, it's nothing compared to the nepotism we've seen of the Trump family. I mean, you have Ivanka Trump basically sitting in on meetings that should only be accessed by high-level officials. And what exactly are her qualifications again? So I would say if Biden does end up being the nominee, he's probably going to have to really make that a major part of his campaign. The idea that it's actually the Trump family that has much more nepotism, because we're certainly going to see the Republicans continue to talk about Hunter, fair or not. And again, nothing illegal that he did, just a little bit on the unethical side. All right, that's all the time we have for today on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Hope to see you out at Burger Mo's this evening. Matt will be out there. I'll be out there. We'll have debate-themed bingo. Also giving away some signed Tom Hartman books. Doors are going to open at 6:30. Debate begins at 7. Tickets only $20 now. Only available at the door. Hope to see you at Burger Mo's tonight for our debate party.